Happy Saturday. Welcome to another show. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. And I am your host, Leo Landaverde. Shout out to my co-host, Claudine.
Hello. Good morning.
What's up, Claudine?
Super glad to be back and super glad to be done moving.
I know. You just moved from, you have this palatial state office now.
Yeah, we're very excited. So we will still be keeping a presence in Turlock. We are not we're not moving out of Turlock by any means. But we did move to a bigger office space up in Modesto on Standiford. So we're really excited. Beautiful office, ready to start the, I would say start the new year. We feel like we're starting a new year. Of course, it's now, you know, middle of the year, but it's a whole new program and we're excited really looking forward to getting back to business and, you know, just no matter how much you plan, no matter how much you try, moving just is terrible. Just terrible. You can't get around it. You know, we tried to, you know, plan and luckily shout out to our IT guys. We had some great IT folks helping us get, you know, set back up. Unplugging the computers and all of the stuff is easy. It's you go to turn it on when you get to the new location and things turn on. Sometimes they turn on for 3 minutes and then they turn back off again. And
expect the unexpected, right?
Yeah. Shout out to Tech Heroes down in the Central Valley.
Shout out, Tech Heroes!
Really appreciate you guys helping us out, getting us back to work. And the phones ring and the computers work, so amen.
Hey, so my producer is laughing at me. I think the longer we're on the show, the goofier we get. Probably. Hey, whatever it takes for some laughs, right?
Right.
So shout out to our producer, too. Yes! What's up, Luke?
What, did Luke forget that I was moving? He thought I just abandoned you for 2 weeks?
Yeah, he felt sorry for me.
I bet.
Did a couple of shows on by myself, and let me tell you, this radio business and talk show business is not meant to just one person. So I was literally crawling in a fetal position on the edge of the studio and Luke had to come and rescue me and he had to give me a pep talk. Leo, you can do this. And he's laughing.
I bet.
I did it. I mean, but I am so much appreciative of what you do and how this show with the two of us, because it's just yin and yang. It's just the energy of, you know, you doing your thing and talking about your, you know, complementary angle on the legal side. And so that's why we do this show together. I mean, that's why it's Business and Legal Talk, and that's just not business. I mean, I could do it. It's just emotionally draining when you're sitting in front of the mic for 60 minutes at a time. I don't know. We were talking before the show started. How do people do it for 3 hours?
I know. It's a lot. And especially when there's no interaction. It's
and
just
talking
you.
To yourself.
You must have a lot to say. I'm not sure I have that much to say.
I'm a talker, but I don't have that much to say. So anyway, so great to have you back.
Thank you.
Lots going on. Lots of good stuff. We're going to be talking today about cybersecurity and data breach. So for those of you listening to, if you've forgotten the 10 o'clock as you're going to the Home Depot and buy stuff, we talk to business owners.
Right.
Our primary audience are... It's business owners who are either running and growing a business, you know, a going concern with 10 to 50 employees. But we also speak to those who are just starting out, you know, that they just started a business and they have questions about, well, where do I go for, you know, insurance or general liability, professional liability and health insurance and workers' comp and then... you know, do I incorporate? When do I do that? And, you know, of course, all things legal. Claudine is the reigning queen of legal stuff. So
that's funny.
But if you want to know how to plot your way to a multi-million-dollar valuation and you want to figure out how to set up your accounting systems to do that and really come up with the great indicators for growth, then you come to me.
Right.
So, you know, we are at www.greenlandhq.com. And thanks for the shout outs, the emails that we get. And where are you, Claudine?
We are on the web at sharon-law.com. And that's sherron-law.com. And of course, now, as I mentioned, now located on Standiford Avenue.
Yes. Beautiful office.
Thank you.
I actually got a chance to visit it just recently. And huge, just a great building. But you know, we've had shows and we talked about the perils of not doing leases right. So, and it's, you know, that's one thing you don't want to go out alone is dealing with a 25-page lease without having The watchful eye of somebody who knows what they're doing. And that's one thing, Claudine, that I love how you guys, you love real estate and commercial and how Absolutely. You guys are able to, you know, negotiate on behalf of the tenants.
Right. We are. We do quite a bit of real estate work. And we are, have recently been doing a lot more buying and selling on behalf of clients. So we are acting in the capacity as realtors, and I'm a licensed broker, and my associate's a licensed broker, and my paralegal's also a licensed realtor. So we're able to help them on that. So if people, if you need assistance, we're certainly here for that. But I have to tell you, prior to us making the decision to move into this particular building, I had looked at a number of places, and you know,
I know that
going through the regular process that everybody goes through, you call in the ad and you make an appointment, and you go look at it. And I have to tell you that we really got lucky. We fell into communications with the agent that was the listing agent on this particular property, and he made the job so much nicer and so much easier.
Really?
He immediately assessed my needs and said, okay, wait a minute, the building you're calling on, I really don't think it's going to be the best for you, but I've got these, you know, let's line up four of them, let's take 2 hours, we'll run through them. And then I was able to bring my husband back, who's a contractor, to determine, you know, what kind of improvements we were going to need to make, and what we were looking at cost wise there. But, you know, having somebody who is willing to be proactive and jump in, and I didn't have to ask for any of that. He just saw it. He knew what I was needing and jumped in and took care of it. So
you are just the lucky person.
I have the right people
on the bus.
I can't tell you, but when you come into contact with somebody who gets proactive about helping you solve your problems, that's what we try to be for our clients. I know that's what you try to do for your clients. And when I come across other business owners in the community that's what they're trying to do, man, oh man, it makes life a lot easier.
You know, it just goes to show that you get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
A lot of people want to get stuff for free, you know, and there's nothing wrong with going and looking things up on Google and trying to piecemeal something. But when it comes to your business, it might be fine to do it on your own for your personal finances, but when it comes to your business, you get what you pay for.
Oh,
there's
man.
So much unqualified advice out there, and professionals who they're not really up to snuff, they don't know. And then it has a domino effect. If they lack on some piece of knowledge that your CPA or your accountant needs, or you know, or your lawyer is missing something, and we don't have the right board of advisors, if you will, for your business, and one person misses the mark and the other ones don't catch it, you're in a world of trouble, because you're the one stuck with the bill.
It is true. It is true. And I'll tell you, you and I have talked about this on the radio, and I think this is, you know, it's never going to be not important. Understanding the value of your hour, what your value is.
Yes.
It's something that's always running through my brain. And in our industry, we bill by the hour, and there's only so many hours in a day. So if I do spend 6 hours running around looking at, you know, new office spaces, that's 6 hours I'm not actually working, and I can't get that 6 hours back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're out and you're doing things and it's taking forever and forever to get it done, and because, you know, maybe you're not in the right spot, don't have maybe the right resources. And then when you come across somebody who can jump in, and all of a sudden it happens so quickly, you think, oh, for goodness sakes, we took so long. So knowing the value of your time and your hour, what your value is, and that helps you know when to start to delegate to somebody who maybe can get it done quicker, or, you know.
Yes. And you know what? About a year ago, you and I first started working together.
I know.
And I remember saying that, right? About a year ago, and I remember saying, how much is an hour worth of your time? And then the thing that you really got right away is like, what happens if I give this, you know, if I'm doing things that are what I would be willing, you know, charging clients? And so you're taking all those jobs that you could be assigning to somebody else at a much lesser rate, and then you're losing out.
Right.
So anyway, so we're going to be talking about cybersecurity and this just big data breach that happened at Capital One and how that affects your business. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
¶¶
spin it up. All right. Welcome back. I was just enjoying that song too much. Thunderstruck. What a way to get your Saturday started, right?
A little old school.
All school. Hey, it's called old school rock still.
It does.
Come on. Hey, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with you, Claudine. I got a little carried away. I was doing my air guitar right now.
So are you musically inclined?
Yes.
Really?
I used to be in a band in college.
Really?
Rhythm guitar and vocals.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm dating myself. This was in early 90s, 80s. And I used to do performance at school.
Wow. I am super not inclined at all.
Oh, I would be the kind of guy with a microphone, throwing myself, from one side of the stage to the other on my knees and
just doing back flips
and stuff.
And look at you now.
Look at me now. I turned into a CFO. So would have thought, right? Not a rock star.
That's right.
Anyway, hey, so we got a lot to cover. So let's get to it. What's the deal with Capital One, right? If you've been watching the news, it's all over it.
All over.
What happened?
Well, data breach. Somebody hacked into their system and managed to get 140,000 Social Security numbers.
How many?
140,000.
Social Security. Now, that doesn't count I heard about 100 million records.
Well, and another 80,000 linked bank account numbers were exposed. So this happens so much.
Are you with Capital One?
I do have an account with Capital One. I'll tell you, this happens so much now that, I mean, how many of us just go, oh, okay, data breach. And
what's like, for lunch?
Yeah, what do I do about it? Nothing. Right, it's like I super can't do anything about it. So, kind of thought it would be good to talk about it and see what other people are thinking about doing or have they been affected? And have you been affected by a data breach that, I suspect that all of our data has been breached at some point, but have you ever had a negative effect over it?
No. You know what? And knocking, we're find all the wood is all the wood in the studio.
I don't know, but we're knocking on
not,
it.
Not directly, but we had a couple of close calls.
Really?
Yeah. So
what's a close call?
When you're notified by your IT department, someone's trying to hack into our website. Oh. They didn't quite get in.
Right.
So that was... Somebody from a different country was trying to hack into the website, and I was notified.
So, was your website? Is it just an informational website, or
it didn't have nothing to be taken? They had nothing sensitive in it.
Okay.
So, but they didn't get in. But we were notified that somebody was trying to get behind the code or something. Mm-hmm. And I have nothing to, I mean, we're not selling anything.
Right.
There's no credit cards on their website. But that brings up this whole topic that we're going to talk about today. Yeah. What if you did have all this information that you're supposed to protect, right? So I guarantee, I mean, if you're a business owner, at some point you're going to be dealing with credit cards and electronic transfers and ACH and auto debits. Think about the responsibility that these companies have.
Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, the responsibility that we have to protect that information.
We do. We do have. We do. And I recall, part of the conversation that we had with Deanna from Heartland Merchant Services.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about that.
One of our trusted partners.
I know. I just love them. I love Heartland. But there is responsibility on us as business owners and how we treat the data when we take credit cards. Now, for us, we don't take credit cards like over websites or anything like that. So we've minimized our exposure. But there are a lot of companies, especially in this this age of selling products online, and so people are set up to take credit cards over the phone or take them through a website, and that does provide a little bit more exposure. But Capital One has said that it has fixed the exploit or the hole that the hacker used to get in, and I just
hackers from Russia.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I suppose.
I know, I'm just saying that kind of making fun of it, but that's what's hot in it right now. If you look in the political realm, right, all this compromised the election, right, the 16 election. But the numbers are staggering. So let me read to you from this article. A data breach of Capital One service this month exposed personal information of nearly 106 million.
Wow. So that's the personal information
of banks, customers, and applicants. Not just the customers, but people who are actually applying. So we mentioned that the social security numbers were 140,000. That's true. And about 80,000. This is all big stuff, right? Let's just land there. 106 million records, and we have 310 million people in the U.S. Assuming that we're all from the U.S., we're saying one out of every third person, had some stuff. That's how big this company is.
Well, the interesting part is, what are the hackers going to do with that much information?
Sell it in the black market.
Oh.
So you know that. Here's an interesting thing, and it has nothing to do with the topic right now, but the dark web.
Right.
Have you heard about it?
I've heard about it.
I have no clue, like, what is, other than what you and I look up when we go to, you know, the portals, the Google, the Facebook, the CNN, and we browse through all these carefully manicured websites for where you get information and you buy products or services. That's but less than 10% of what's available in the web.
Right.
The other 90%, it's under the radar. You have to have special ways to get in. It's like the underworld. So these hackers, you know, weapons, stolen information gets transacted. You know, it's transacted in this dark black market.
Right.
It's like a digital black market.
Digital black market. And that's the best way to describe it.
And what it is people that want to remain. I mean, if you know what you're doing as a software person, You're dangerous. I mean, I was watching the news the other day, and nothing is more valuable now. The hottest commodity in the world is not gold, it's not oil, it's data.
Yo, there's no question. It's crazy to think, when you start to realize how many companies, they're selling some service on the internet. Mm-hmm. They are not there to sell the service. They're there to collect your data.
Yeah.
And then they sell your data. And so things that you think are pretty innocuous are just, you know, benign, random, and you go on and you buy some product, and they're selling the product is just a way to get you to give up your data. And then they sell your data.
So
it's all about data mining.
Facebook. Well, just think about this. The analogy, right? Some of the most highly capitalized or most valuable in terms of, you know, the market capitalization of some of the largest companies in the world, the top 10 are all technology companies.
Right.
And what is the product that they serve, that they sell? Information. Data. Right. Right?
More important.
It's a free, you know, basically Facebook, and, you know, you can have a Gmail account. It doesn't cost anything for you to have it.
No.
And they can bombard you because they're within the data world.
Right.
They collect your information. They sell you. You know, here's what's creepy about this whole data thing. And have you ever been, your phone is off, right? And not to get conspiracy, but this is the power of information.
It happens.
And then you think about, oh gosh, it would be, I'm craving some Haagen-Dazs.
Right. Or I wish I had a pool.
And suddenly, next thing you know, you get into your Facebook or anywhere you're browsing, and then those ads just pop.
Right.
Pop. Isn't that kind of freaky?
It is. And it's happened. And I know so many people who it's happened to, and they've said themselves, oh my God,
how do you know?
And so I personally will not have one of those Alexas in my house.
Late for me. I already have one in the office. They already heard everything.
And there's so many people that I've talked to. I have a friend of mine who one day I was joking with him because he loves his Alexa. And I was joking. I said, oh, come on. Aren't you afraid they're recording you? He goes, I really don't care. Who cares if they're recording me? And I, like, on one hand, I get it okay, who cares? But on one hand, I go, I don't know.
When a package shows to the door and you were thinking about buying it, but they already, in your mind, you already purchased it, shows up.
That's
not that has to happen, but that's the future.
It's scary.
That's the Minority Report, right?
It's scary.
You're going to be convicted of a crime before you think about it. Wait, I just thought about that. I never really did anything.
What do you think about the free email services that record and scan your emails?
Like what?
Like Gmail. Those services.
It's free.
Right. But you know how many attorneys use Gmail accounts?
A lot.
And that makes me nervous, because that is attorney-client privilege we could be breaching.
Yeah. So you have to adhere, and even I have. So I have a Gmail for my personal, but at this point, who's to say if you don't have a Gmail account that is free, side by side by another account that is not free, that is controlled by your service, who's to say that information is not creeping back and forth? I don't know that, but that's beyond our pray grade, because we would pretty great. It'd be great to have an IT person in our as a guest to talk about these things.
Great idea.
Hey, how about that?
Okay, make a note.
So we do have some great shows coming up in other shows. You know, we got to have a great health insurance costs that keep rising, right? What do we do? How does a business owner protect themselves? Stay tuned. We're actually doing a show next week on health insurance, and we're doing a show on estate planning. So we're out there looking out for you guys as business owners. So back to this. So what do we do, and why should you care as a business owner, right? Capital One has the financial wherewithal to deal, to have a room full of IT experts and software engineers fixing it. But what happens to the little guys? What happens to the rest of us?
Well, for sure, if
we have a data breach.
Yeah, for sure. If you're a business owner and you have a data breach, I would say immediately take a deep breath and don't do anything public immediately. What you really need to do is you need to assess the situation. You need to make sure that whatever you are going to say to customers, or if you're going to make a public statement, some companies are bigger and they would maybe make a statement in a local newspaper or something along those lines.
Right.
Whatever you do, you do not want to say the wrong thing, and you definitely don't want to lie or attempt to cover something up. And so you need to take that break. You need to breathe for a second. And you need to reach out to your resources, whether it's your IT person. If you don't have an IT person, then you need to find one immediately to do an investigation. You should also inform legal counsel.
Right.
A lot of times, and this is some advice that we give business owners a lot, whether it be something like an IT breach, or let's just say it's a harassment claim from one employee to another. We're going to do an internal investigation. You want to involve your attorney in that, because what that does is it does create an attorney-client privilege over a lot of information that maybe would not be it would not be favorable if it got out. So if it was just a regular person who was conducting the interview, that information may or may not be privileged. So
that's a huge thing you bring to the table. I mean, yeah. I never really understood that attorney-client privilege until you actually had a need to use it. And it's such a wonderful thing in our free world to be able to have that in the service that you provide. If people really understood, people usually go to attorneys, well, I don't need one, they're too expensive. Well, if you're really thinking big, and if you got into business, you got to do, you know, remember what we said, you get what you pay for, right? Free advice is going to cost you millions in the future. Pay for the right one idea, one type of information protected can help you in the hundreds of thousands of dollars in the future. So anyway, so you're saying, so what do we do when, so let's assume that there is. So let's walk through a business owner to what happens if there is a data breach. And we're going to be covering a lot of that in the next couple of segments. But first, number one, don't freak out.
Don't. Breathe.
Breathe. Okay.
Breathe.
I'm breathing. All right.
Breathe and breathe. And then we're going to start to create a plan. And when you create a plan.
Okay. I'm breathing.
You reach out to your resources.
All right. Well, okay. So we're going to keep you waiting and guessing what's going to happen. We have to go to break. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Lee and Claudine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So I never really got into it.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Saturday. I hope the weather is treating you nice today. So welcome back. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Lee and Claudine. We're having so much fun today.
Yes.
Talking about cybersecurity.
Stuff that happens that is so super important, but it happens so often. It's like so much of what's going on, I guess, in society right now is, you know, we just hear about it happening all the time.
Right.
I mean, what Equifax, I think, was so huge when the Equifax breach happened. That even after that, now Capital One, and you think how many millions of people, and I think everybody just presumes that they have already had their data breached anyway.
Right. And it happened in 2017, and the numbers were staggering even then. 147 million records compromised. So you would think, oh, 106 million is not that much. I mean, it's just no matter what, that's what it was. 147 million Equifax situation here.
Oh, the Equifax one was in 17, yeah.
And then 17, so 2 years later we have. So is it going to keep happening, Claudine?
I can't see
Look
why
into your
not.
Crystal ball right now.
Right now, here I go.
Okay.
My powers.
All right, here we go.
Tap my powers. no, but I can't. I mean, unless these companies were not allowed to keep our data.
Right.
You know, you apply for a card and say, you know, a credit card through Capital One or whatever card agency. And then they were required to destroy our data.
They are required.
Or well, apparently not, because they are getting it stolen.
So, but let's just go along with that. So the person that actually did this, you know, the person responsible.
Right.
Was a U.S. person.
Right.
And a software person.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, but I thought that they said it was an ex-employee.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
It was one gal by herself. But think about it wasn't even organized crime.
Right.
But if one person is able to do that much damage, what does it mean for the rest of us and for the ones that really know how to do this? You know, years back, somebody tried to get into the DOD, Department of Defense.
Right.
So no one is immune.
No, and what is really, really frustrating is that over all these years, and I say all these years, we're talking, what, you know, 5 to 10 of years of having data breaches, and it used to be really important, and oh my God, they got my social security number. Every single time, it still seems to be the response is reactionary. I personally have heard nothing about what are we going to do going forward? You know, how do we stop this, because it seems that from a software or IT or hacker position, there is no system that's totally impermeable.
Correct.
There's always going to be a way for somebody to hack if they work at it hard enough and long enough. So why are they even keeping our data?
Well, okay. So before I forget, public service announcement. I mean, if you are affected,
right?
If you were one of those who actually in the last 24 months has applied to, you know, Capital One, and I think one of every three Americans has,
right?
Number one thing I would do is freeze your credit right now.
Right.
They are, you know, they're offering this free monitoring. I would take it. I mean, I guarantee you this is not going to be just a slap on the wrist kind of situation. I guarantee you that the insurance carrier for Capital One is already they're already tapping into their legal team figure out, because this is going to be a pretty good size payout.
Oh yeah.
But for right now, to placate, you know, the media, they're saying that they're willing to. So you get on the phone or you email them and says, hey, you need to freeze. You know, I would get it to the FICO, you know, the Experian, the all of the credit reporting agencies, because right now, you know, it may seemingly disconnected, but if you're trying to get a line of credit for your business and your FICO drops, and everything else looks fine, but your FICO drops, a lot of the credit rating for underwriters for loans in business or personal are FICO driven.
Yes, absolutely.
So if something happens to your credit score, years and years ago, I had a situation that we were obsessed. You know, I think I got my FICO almost to nearly, I think like 805, which is 840 is the holy grail. You're walking on water at 840, right? Nothing happens. You're the best thing that has ever happened. And everybody just gives you this $100,000, you know, basically free.
Loans.
No, but non-guarantee, which means signature loans, right? Until my FICO dropped. And I had to pull the report. And there was this account that I had that I didn't know I had. that had a $5,000 line of credit, and somebody been making payments on it.
Of course they did.
You know what happened? Somebody found that somebody, my information, impersonated me,
mm-hmm.
got a credit card, used it, and was making payments on it. But because they tap it to the limit.
Right.
Remember what we've been saying about how to manage your credit?
Right.
You want to see your FICO go up?
Right.
Don't ever use your lines of credit 100% for months on end without paying it down. What credit card or loan companies or banks want to see is the kind of an even flow, right? Up and down, up. And I know we're a little off the subject, but freeze your credit now to avoid any damage or further damage.
So freezing your credit just means that no new accounts are going to be open. It doesn't mean you're closing accounts.
No, that doesn't mean you're closing. But
be clear on that.
Yes. Thank you. So you notify the credit bureaus.
Right.
Hey, I want completely freeze my account, meaning nobody can apply for credit.
Right.
Not even me.
No extended credits.
Nothing. No, you freeze it. Where is that? No extended credits. You put alerts. You know, like I need you to be notified when anything happens. If somebody calls in and tries to apply it, even though it's already frozen, you get that information and it's to be reported to you because it is your credit.
Right. No, and it's super, super important too that you're working with banks that are proactive. I know just from a banking, not even a credit card standpoint, but just from a banking perspective, I know that my bank caught a really big, it could have been a really, really big one. And it happened to be with our client trust account where, you know, client trust accounts are very protected. It's highly regulated. It's a very tricky thing. Number one reason why attorneys lose their licenses is not managing the account correctly.
Trust account, yep.
And so we had written a check to a client. It was their settlement. And the check was mailed to the client. The client, you know, had the check, whatever. Bank calls me 3 or 4 days later and says, there was a payment, a debit coming through my trust account. And I said, debit? There is no debits in a trust account. We write checks and we track the money very closely. And she said, no, it's like an online debit. Somebody went online and paid a bill using the trust account information, and they had taken the check. A customer, of course, our client, of course, swears it was not her, but they had taken the check, got the routing number, got the account number, and went online and paid a credit card bill for like $40,000.
What?
With my trust account information.
Oh my goodness.
And man, I'll tell you what, my bank was so awesome. They called me while it was still pending, and because they knew enough about client trust accounts to know that, you know, we just don't debit out of trust accounts like that. This is just that would be a very strange thing to have happen.
Wow.
And they stopped it. And I'll tell you another couple of weeks ago, I went to a gas station to use my business debit card to purchase some fuel. And it declined me. And I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. I mean, I know there's money there. And came to the office Monday morning, called my bank. And she said, oh, yeah, we had some suspicious charges on your card. And I said, well, I have my card. I didn't lose it. No, somebody in Vegas had bought two $125 purchases of fuel at a gas station in Vegas. And I still had my card. So somebody somehow gotten my information, or
but you know how they do it.
They do it with those little card readers.
Mm-hmm.
They walk by you, and
yep,
have it right there.
Yeah, I mean, so
I know this happens to everybody, though it's such a huge problem.
So the whole point in this talk today, or the topic of our talk show, is not necessarily to fear mongering and scare you, but I think you should be well informed. We're all about helping you build a business that is profitable and sustainable. And nowadays, with the market turning around, the interest rates going down, you know, there's going to be credit available. You need credit. It's unavoidable. You need to have in your arsenal as a business the ability to borrow.
Yes, and we've talked about that.
We have talked plenty. There's multiple ways you can raise capital, and you don't want to go to the private equity route, which I spent two shows talking about the last couple of weeks ago. And equity is expensive.
It's very expensive.
It's the most expensive money you'll ever part with.
Right.
So why not just capitalize on a good credit score and get all the money that you need. Because when do we say that we go to the bank? When we don't need
when
it, right?
When we don't need it.
Because when we need it,
that's right.
It's too late.
It's too late.
I was listening to a talk show today on the way, you know, on the way to the studio.
Right.
And this is has to do with people that do, you know, I have a lot of my clients that do government contracting.
Mm-hmm.
So we do government contracting, and you know the government does all these programs, you know, all this government assistance to help businesses.
Right.
But it's all predicated in the fact that you're actually running a profitable business.
Right.
It behooves the government when they give you a contract that you are profitable.
Right. They're in the same shoes as the bank. They're right. Not wanting to lose money, and they're wanting to, you know, make money, and if they're going to loan you money, they you need to be able to pay the money back. And so when you're sliding downhill, it's not the time that you can pay your money back.
So here's some actionable things, you know, as you are on your Saturday going around, is if you feel like you've been compromised, freeze your credit.
Right.
Number two, if you haven't been compromised, you need to know what your FICO is.
Yes.
There are ways that you can actually pull your credit score without affecting, you know, because the score gets affected multiple ways, credit usage or new accounts, but also inquiries.
Right.
Can make your so many inquiries over so many months can you drop 10 points.
No, and it's important because there's a lot of mail theft that goes on. That's why we have ring bells and doorbells and all of that stuff. Mail theft. And what a lot of people are doing is they're getting those credit card offers. And they're filling them out.
Good point.
Or they're going online. If they get your social security number, they go online. They use your social and they fill out the credit card, put their address on it, like what happened. To you, somebody using
yep.
your social and then actually having an account and actually paying on it.
And actually making payments on it.
Yeah.
You would think that it's helping my credit, but this is stuff that keeps me up at night. So in another note, check your mail every day.
Every day.
You're never going to, okay, companies make billions of dollars of credit. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get stuff in the mail every day. What do? You need to go to your mailbox, pick up your mail, shred whatever, but you can't just neglect. And if you're going to be out of town for any length of time, somebody needs to, you need to deputize somebody. Here's a telltale sign that somebody's not home. The mailbox spilling with mail, right? It's just a bad sign.
Newspapers on the
yeah, porch. If you're not doing that anyway. So those are the kinds of things you need to freeze your credit. You need to
contact fraud departments.
You need to empty your mailbox, and you need to get your FICO score, and you need to know if you're using credit for, you know, and if this is a little bit of accounting sidebar, if you're using a credit card that you're thinking about using for the business, both use it just for the business and stop commingling.
Right.
You know, it's going to happen, right? You're going to get, well, gosh, I went to Save Mart to buy groceries, and on the business credit card, you don't do that, right? Nobody. I mean, none of my clients do that.
Never intentionally.
Anyway, so hey, so we have to go to break. We're gonna come back and kind of bring this home. So I hope this is helpful. Credit is key. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We'll be right back. Listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We're bringing it home. Hope you're having some fun. I hope we're giving you some actionable content. We're all about action and all about doing, you know, this is not theoretical stuff. We're not reading from books. We're doing this stuff every day. We're helping business owners. We know what's going on a day-to-day basis, and you should pay attention to your business, you know, and there'll be different times talking about different things. But today, it's very important. There is a huge uptick in the market. There's a lot of opportunities to be had.
Tons.
And whether you're a government contractor or on the private side, there is a lot of, I mean, I'm dealing a lot with a lot of government contractors. You know,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting because we're not. I've got one client who is working through the it's kind of a, it's a system through the government where they can bid on, once you qualify, you can bid for particular jobs. But what, we're not.
What type of industry are they in?
Construction.
It's huge. I mean, you know, some of my the companies that I work with in construction, they do a fair amount of government work. You know, that is through RFIs, RFQs, RFPs. We're not talking small jobs. I mean, it's really helping me take a second look as to there is a, the government is a great payer. You know, the government is not going out of business.
Theoretically. Although we, I think there's some rumblings, but in any event, I won't go down that
road.
No,
don't go there.
I won't go
don't
there.
Walk into the light. Stop. Get out of there.
That's it. I'll run. Let me turn around.
Okay,
and run.
So back to us, back to credit. So you have some thoughts, that things that you wanted to share.
Yeah, I think it's important that people realize, particularly business owners. Let's kind of move away from the consumer perspective. Right. Let's talk about it from a business owner perspective.
Yep,
credit is a tool. It's a tool just like any other tool that we have. There's times where, you know, speaking about government being a good payer, those who have done a lot of government work also realize that the government is a slow payer.
It can be.
It can be a very slow payer.
And so you need credit.
So sometimes you have credit to, you know, bridge the gap, so to speak. And so you recognize credit as being a tool. If you're going to use it, if you're going to have it, if you're going to keep yourself exposed to some extent for data breaches and all the rest of it, well, then it should be a tool that works for you. I mean, there's no sense in having exposure if the tool's of zero value to you. So, you know, how do you use credit? What's the best way to use credit? What, you know, embrace it. If you're going to do it, embrace it and do it right.
Right.
So that means you really do need to manage your credit in terms of keeping it monitored. You do need to look at it. So I've been lucky in that I've had my bank, you know, really, really, really proactive. And they've caught some things. But had they not caught it, would I have caught it within that 24 hours, or would I, how long would it have been before I caught, you know, money being out of my account and so forth. So it is important that you use credit monitoring services, whether it's Credit Karma, you know, there's a whole number, a whole host of them that are available, but you really should be checking in on that periodically. I know a lot of credit card companies now even allow or they provide you your credit score. And so if somebody gets your social security number and goes and applies for a car under or a loan or some sort of a credit card, and that hard inquiry will be reflected.
Yeah.
You know, so that's an indicator. You may look at your credit and go, my goodness, my credit score has gone down and I don't even know why. I don't have a new account here. Oh, it's that hard inquiry. Well, wait a minute. I didn't make an inquiry. So those things are really, really important for you to know.
Speaking of which, so I'm going to tell you your FICO score. By the way, there's a credit score for your business, and there's a credit score for you personally.
That's correct.
For businesses done in Broad Street, DNB, that is becoming even more prevalent. So you can actually, it's never too early for you to start your business credit.
Right.
Large companies fully take advantage of it. The difference is that one is guaranteed by the corporation and the other one is guaranteed by you.
Right.
But what makes up the FICO score, your payment history is 35%. Your credit utilization is actually 30%.
Right.
The length of credit is only 15%.
It's
so interesting,
A lot of people think, I haven't had credit for very long, or I can't buy a house, or you know, something along that. That's not true. New, they're looking for new people in the market.
Right. So you can have, so then new credit is 10%. So if you never really get any credit, and you're not, so they're actually, you're actually being rewarded by getting new credit by managing it right? And then is a credit mix, right? And that's 10%. So the top two are 65%. Payment history is everything.
Oh yeah.
And it starts with your bookkeeping, you know, and you gotta do it. You gotta be on top of it. Nobody cares. If you're a sole proprietorship, an LLC, or you don't have a lot of anybody minding your bookkeeping, right, you should be able to do it yourself. But if your credit is shot, you're dead on arrival.
He'll tell you. And you know, a lot of times people's credit is shot just because they haven't got good control over the bookkeeping. And it's not that you don't have the money. You just didn't get the payment in on time.
Well, you can't afford to be neglectful when it comes to that kind of stuff.
No, and absolutely. I would highly recommend that you put at least the minimum payment on auto, you know, payment. If that's your life, I know.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, particularly, let's say, for example, the construction industry, folks who are not working in a regular like office work environment. They're right out on the road. And it gets very difficult to come home after work and then sit down and pay all your bills or, you know, this, and those type of things kind of end up falling through the cracks. So if that is, you know yourself best and understand if that's the lifestyle you have and that's the impediment that you maybe you have. Put your minimum payment on auto pay, so at least the minimum goes. Because the minimum is typically really pretty small. So on
but it all goes to interest.
Yeah, and that's fine, but the payment's
made. But
it saves
your credit.
That's right.
So here's a good practical, and I've seen it in bigger companies. Once you're able to have multiple high limit, you know, the American Express, which is a great tool to right, when you're doing a lot of traveling and you have a B of A, a Wells Fargo and a Citi card, and you have four. Well, be careful. A lot of companies will say, we'll give you this discount if you give us a number. And people automatically give their debit card number to have an auto. Be careful who you give access to your think about the exposure. Somebody gets a hold of that vendor and they fall into your debit card, falls into the wrong hands, and you have $300,000 in your business checking account and somebody compromises, you're going to have a hard time getting that money back.
This is a mistake I've made.
So just don't do that, right?
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you and the folks listening. We have made a lot of mistakes in business.
But that's where you are, right? Because you're willing to make mistakes.
Right. And we would like to maybe circumvent some of the decisions that we've made and bumps and bruises we've had in the past and help people. This is a mistake that I've made, is attaching it to my bank debit card and not a credit card. And I highly, highly recommend, if you are that person who does put things on auto pay or auto renewal or whatever it is, use a credit card and not your bank debit card.
So how you game the system to your advantage? Have all your credit cards be on auto with your bank, but all the other purchases
you're on credit cards.
Yeah. So what the world sees, it's your credit cards.
Right.
And behind the scenes, how you pay is with your bank account.
That's correct.
And that's how you game the system in your FICO. And I've seen it when it works great.
Right.
If you have the ability and if you're doing your cash management right, you should know what your cash position is 6 weeks from now.
Sure.
So you can anticipate those purchases. Anyway, so what else do we want to remind our listeners to? So if you have any legal matters, so if you have a question, I want to put it out there. I mean, I'm sure, Claudine, if somebody has a question, you wouldn't turn somebody away because they have a question. You want them to come to you. If you're a business owner or somebody who is dealing with multiple businesses, you want an opinion on anything, go ahead and call Claudine's office. What's your
Absolutely.
Office number?
Our office is area code 209-427-2200. And again, we are now on Sandiford Avenue here in Modesto.
Come on.
And we are also in Turlock. So,
but you service clients in multiple places,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So you service a client in LA?
Absolutely.
Yes.
LA. In fact, we were in LA 3 weeks ago, I think.
Yes, in Long Beach.
Yep, down in Long Beach. And our associates are, we will travel. So it's not just me. We have other associate attorneys in the office and they will travel and are just happy to help.
And they are awesome too. Those other attorneys are awesome. Yes, hooray. So anyway, so if you really want quantitative analysis and you want to be the business, you know, the one that could become worth millions, then you need to talk to us.
Yeah.
And you can reach us at www.greenlandhq.com or call our office, 559-207-3148. We are in Fresno, but we service the entire state of California, mighty as it is.
That's right.
So, hey, I want to thank everybody for listening, and this has been a great time. And I hope the information that we provided to you was valuable. And we want to hear from you. Email us, call us anytime. You have been listening to Business and Legal Talk with Lee and Claudine.
Thank you.
So long.